I think we can start now. It was like a wedding. I was waiting there for the arrival of the main man, and I thought he wasn't going to come, but he's arrived. So now we can start this special 25th anniversary service. You're all very welcome, and we're going to worship the Lord by singing together Psalm 100, and after we hear the introduction, we will stand and sing together, "All people that on earth do dwell." A long association with the Reverend Brown, especially through his work on the Finance Committee, and especially way back to the early days when the Reverend Brown first came this way. And the Reverend Beatty is now going to come and lead us in prayer.
Let us pray. God, our loving, eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we can come to Thee together. We can meet around Thy throne of mercy and of grace. We are invited to come boldly to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in our time of need. And, O God, our Heavenly Father, as we look back over these 25 years, we thank Thee for every occasion of need when the Lord answered prayer, when the Lord heard our cry together. And, O God, our loving Heavenly Father, we rejoice in all that Thou hast done. These 25 years are full of great memories for this congregation. And, O God, our Father, for Thy servant, we pray this night. We thank Thee that Thou hast blessed him, Thou hast used him these 25 years. And, O God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou wouldst continue to use him. Grant, O God, this night he might have a fresh anointing from Thyself. May it be like the fresh oil of which the psalmist David did speak. May he know that fresh touch tonight. May he know great encouragement even in the Lord tonight. O God, our Father, bless his wife and family. Be with them. Encourage them also. Meet every need and bless them abundantly, we pray. Lord, we do ask of Thee for Thy mighty power upon this occasion of this gathering together to remember the years that are past with thanksgiving. We pray that Thy servant who opens up Thy word tonight, that he might have a fresh enduement of power from on high, and grant, O God, that there might be the sound of a going in the mulberry trees this very night. O God, our Father, we thank Thee for all that Thou hast done for us. We thank Thee for sending Christ to be our Savior. We thank Thee that His precious blood is not only upon our hearts, But, O God, this night it's before and on the mercy seat. It speaketh better things than that of Abel. It cries out for mercy tonight. 'Tis the speaking blood before thy throne. And, O God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that thou wouldst undertake and grant that this meeting might experience the blessing of God upon it this night. O God, our Heavenly Father, we cry that thy presence might continue with us right through to the very last amen. And grant, O God, that we might know that it was good for us to have been here, for it was here that we met with the Lord. O God, our Father, we cry to thee for help from heaven, for the continued ministry of thy word in this house. And, O God, our Father, we pray that this city might be further blessed of God. O God, we cry that thou wouldst open thine eyes and look upon this city, see its need in Christ, we pray. And, O God, we cry out to thee for a breath of revival. We cry for a divine intervention, O Lord, not only upon this city, but upon this province, upon the whole world. Oh, that the world might taste and see is the burden of our heart this night. And, O God, our Father, we pray that there might now be signs following as never before the teaching and preaching of thy precious word in all our pulpits. O God, our Heavenly Father, we cry to thee to defeat Satan, overturn the powers of hell. O God, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. O God, we cry to thee for help. Lord, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people might rejoice in thee? Shut us in tonight with thyself, and may there be cause for rejoicing in heaven over sinners coming to Christ, even in this very meeting now. O God, our Heavenly Father, we ask of thee that we might know thy presence continuing, that we might know thy blessing throughout the meeting upon us, and we pray that heaven might touch earth in the glory of the Lord. Crown the mercy seat this evening, for it is in the Saviour's name we ask it. Amen.
Thank you very much indeed, Reverend Beattie. I know it doesn't indicate this on the order of service, but at this point I would like to read out a couple of apologies and tributes that have come in from those unable to attend. First of all, there's a card here from the Reverend Alan Smiley and his wife Vivian. Dear Ian, we are sorry we will be unable to be with you at the special service of Thanksgiving to mark your 25th anniversary as minister in Londonderry. Trusting the Lord's blessing will continue to be upon you in the days DV which lie ahead. Wishing you, Gillian, and the family God's richest blessing, yours because of Calvary, Alan and Vivian. Then we have another letter here from the Reverend James Beggs. There are a few personal comments to our brother, the Reverend Brown. And then he says, congratulations on reaching this important milestone in your life and ministry in the Maiden City. We thank God for your faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his work in the historic and needy city of Londonderry. God has richly blessed you and your wife and family in his service, and many souls bless the day that God called you to serve him in the ministry of the gospel. We also thank God for your contribution to the wider work of our denomination within our presbytery and for your leadership there. We pray that God will continue his hand upon you as pastor and people as together you labour for the cause of Christ and the gospel. Please convey our good wishes to Gillian and the family and to the congregation in Londonderry. We trust that you will have a very happy and blessed time at your anniversary service on the Lord's Day. Yours in our Saviour's great name, the Reverend James Beggs. I've also received a note here from our moderator, the Reverend John Greer. Congratulations to the Reverend Ian Brown, Clerk of Presbytery, on this, the 25th anniversary of his ministry as pastor of Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church. We pray that the Lord will bless you for your faithful labour over these years and that he will continue to use you, your wife and family, for his glory in coming days. On behalf of Presbytery, Reverend John Greer, moderator. Then we have a short letter from the Reverend Colin Mercer and his wife Heather. And Colin, of course, is Gillian's brother. Dear Ian and Gillian, we are very sorry that we are not able to be with you tonight as you celebrate 25 years of service in Londonderry. Although it barely seems possible that so much time has passed since Ian first came to the church, when I looked at two different photographs of him, one then and one now, I realised all that time really had gone by. I didn't say it, the Reverend Mercer said it. He continues, Ian, I have very clear memories of those early days and remember distinctly some of the messages you preached. I still have my notes of your series on Exodus 12 and other miscellaneous notes on revival and evangelism. Those were blessed times, and I thank God for them. I also owe you a great debt for introducing me to the Puritans, a blessing that I am thankful for every day of my own ministry. Your encouragement to me as I entered the ministry was a great help. Londonderry Church occupies a very special place in our hearts, and you both have been a huge part of that. Although we cannot be with you tonight, we trust that you and your congregation will continue to know the Lord's blessing, and that in his all-wise and perfect providence, he will lead you to even greater things in his work. In Christian love, Colin and Heather Mercer. And then I have one more here from the Reverend Timothy Nelson. And he sent me this email. Ian, I am very sorry I cannot be present this evening, but I'm glad to send warm Christian greetings and sincere congratulations on the 25th anniversary of your ordination and the commencement of your ministry in Londonderry. I have fond memories of our association, which goes back even further to college days. Perhaps less fond are the memories of sitting in a class, almost convulsed by some brown witticism, whispered, of course, to the disapproval of the former principal, while the originator of the comment sat with a perfectly straight face. Seriously, though, I and many others rejoice in your many labours, in all that you have done in the city, and for the denomination as a whole. We are thankful for your many gifts and for your fellowship and friendship in the gospel. May you, Gillian, Joel, Aaron and Chloe know God's blessing tonight as you continue to serve him in the future. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 2, Timothy. So we appreciate those notes. If you're not aware of what the Reverend Nelson was talking about, I'll tell you. When you're engaged in public speaking, you make mistakes. You say things that don't make sense from time to time. Even lecturers, and with Mr. Curran here, he never did because he's brilliant at the English language. But others do make mistakes, and the Reverend Brown was always very quick to pick those things up, as you know. So therefore, if he picked up a mistake, Timothy got a dig. Timothy was told what it was. Of course, he laughs, and the Reverend Brown sits. And you know, that's the way it was. We had good times in college, and that's just a simple illustration of some of the good times we had. We appreciate all of those tributes. We're going to continue to worship the Lord now with hymn number 303. I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Again, we will stand as we sing.
Thank you.
Service, I've been asked to welcome all of you on behalf of the Reverend Brown and the session and committee here in Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church. You're all very, very welcome, and I know that your own folk are here, and of course there are people like myself, visitors, and you're all very welcome. I suppose I have to welcome myself as well, because I'm a visitor, and you always welcome the visitors, so thank you all for coming. I know it's an encouragement to the Reverend Brown to see you, to see some friends from earlier years, and it's great to see the house of the Lord filled tonight. We appreciate your attendance. Can I just give a special word of welcome to Reverend Brown's mother? She travelled up with my wife and I, Mrs. Brown. We're glad she's able to be here tonight as well. I'm sure deep down in her soul there's great joy, and there's a thrill in her heart at the way the Lord has blessed Reverend Brown and given him 25 years of preaching the gospel of Christ. So you're very welcome, Mrs. Brown, especially you. But everybody, we're glad to have you all here. Could I just say, before I hand over to Mr. Phil Moffat, that it's a joy, a delight, and a thrill for me to be asked to come just to introduce various people tonight and to conduct the service on behalf of the Reverend Brown. I was really thrilled whenever he asked me to do this, and I do count it an honour, and I mean that. If you know me, you'll know I don't say those things unless I mean them. If I can't stand over it, I'm not going to say it. But it is an honour, and I do mean that very sincerely. And I'm glad to be here. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to thank the Lord for 25 years of preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. As I thought of the Reverend Brown, there were two verses of Scripture from the Old Testament. I'm just going to read them to you. I'm not asking you to turn to them for the sake of time, but I'll read them. One was Joshua 11, verse 15. It says, as the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua. And so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. So the Lord told Moses what to do. God revealed his will to Moses. Moses passes that on to Joshua. What does Joshua do with it? He believes it and he gets on with it. He obeys the will of God. I thought of that verse about the Reverend Brown. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. And there's another verse, Numbers 32, verse 12. It says, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. They wholly followed the Lord. They gave themselves to the service of the Lord. Completely. Totally. Without reserve. For 25 years now, Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church has been blessed with a minister of the gospel who has, like Joshua, sought to carry out the whole will and plan and purpose of God. And like Caleb, has wholly followed the Lord. And the presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster rejoices that 25 years ago, the Lord brought a man of stability and a man of stickability to this part of the vineyard. I noted this afternoon a couple of things about the Reverend Brown that I feel are absolutely true. He's a man of courage. He didn't run away at the first sign of trouble. Some people are runners, but not the Reverend Brown. He had the courage to keep his head down and get on with the work of God. But he was also a man with a vision, a man who was able to set himself targets and then make sure by the grace of God that he hit those targets. He's always tried to do that for you in Londonderry. The Reverend Brown is a zealous man. He is very keen for the glory of Christ. He's as keen now as he was 25 years ago. And we should thank the Lord for that in the Free Church. There are many denominations where men start off with a zeal for the cross and a zeal for Christ. But 25 years later, when you hear them preaching, you wonder, what's happened? That man's not preaching the gospel the way he once did. But isn't it lovely when you can say the gospel you hear preached in this place now is the same gospel he preached when he came. Hasn't been watered down, hasn't changed, because of course the gospel doesn't change. But he's also a man with a pastor's heart. He loves the people in Londonderry, the people that God has entrusted to him. I know he loves you. I've heard him speak of you behind your backs. However, in praise of the people and the efforts they make, usually when people talk about you behind your back, it's sticking the knife in, as you know. But he has a love for his people here, for you. And we appreciate that as a presbytery. But he's also a man with a love and a concern for the young people of his own church and the young people of the denomination. And how we appreciate that. And he's done a lot behind the scenes to help the youth of the Free Presbyterian Church. But above all, the Reverend Ian Brown is a man of the book. He knows the Bible. If you've sat under his ministry, you should know that. And he preaches the Bible. And he practices what's in the Bible. And therefore, we congratulate you, we congratulate him as a presbytery for 25 years of service. You know, 25 years is a huge chunk out of your life. It's a huge chunk to devote to one congregation. But the Reverend Brown is the type of man who doesn't concentrate upon what he has done for the Lord, but rather he concentrates in his life on preaching upon what the Lord has done for him. Therefore, a quarter of a century to him is nothing. It's a service for the one who loved him and died for him. I know that the Reverend Ian Brown is very much like one of his biblical heroes, John the Baptist. John the Baptist said concerning Christ, he must increase, but I must decrease. And I believe that that's the sort of man the Reverend Brown is. He wants Christ to increase. And he wants to decrease. And we as a presbytery thank the Lord for his life, his testimony, and his service in this congregation. After saying all those things, you'd be thinking, your man up there thinks he's perfect. Well, I don't. I believe he's a good and a godly man, and a faithful man. He's not perfect. He's got very poor judgment when it comes to a football team. And you know, it's a fact, everybody knows even Santa is a Spurs fan. And I don't know whatever happened, how he ever went to support Leeds, but there's only one team that's worth supporting. But he's a good man. I hope you appreciate him. I really do. Because it has been a blessing to have him as your minister all these years. So appreciate him. I was nearly tempted to say there aren't very many more of us left. But well, I did say it, didn't I? But anyhow, pray for him and support him as he seeks to take the work of God forward. The presbytery is glad that the Lord brought him here, gave him stickability, and blessed you under his preaching. There's a gentleman here tonight, Mr. Phil Moffat, who also has a long-standing relationship with the Reverend Brown. It goes way back to the Reverend Brown's early days, even before he came to Londonderry, when he served the Lord in the church in Liverpool. Our brother, Mr. Moffat, has a very strong link with the Liverpool Church, and he's going to come now to say some words about the Reverend Brown on behalf of the folk in Liverpool. Thank you, Mr. Moffat.
Well, how do you follow something like that from our brother Murray? May I begin by expressing my thanks and my appreciation for allowing me to play just a small part in this landmark event this evening of 25 years in the Christian ministry here within the Maiden City. I've been instructed by the Reverend Calvin Stripp and the session of our Liverpool congregation to bring fraternal greetings to the Reverend Brown, his dear wife, Gillian, and the family members, and also to extend and pass on the best wishes of Liverpool to the Kirk Session and Committee and members of the Londonderry Church. Our connection with your dear pastor in Liverpool dates back to the 10th of July 1984, some 28 years ago. 28 years ago when the Reverend Brown arrived on British soil, on mainland UK, as a first-year theological student. He was there to provide pulpit supply for the holidays of the late Reverend Hillis Fleming. I don't know if our brother was of the opinion that he was coming to some leafy suburb or hamlet, to a quiet community or to a reserved congregation, but if that was his impression, then he was about to have a rude awakening. Liverpool in the 1980s was a place in disarray. Pictures were being beamed at that time around the world in relation to the notorious Toxteth riots. And little did the Reverend Brown know, but he had been placed in Liverpool for a 3.5 month period with one of the, I suppose, most eccentric preachers that we had in those days, the late Reverend Hillis Fleming. He seemed so young, and I suppose he was viewed by many in our congregation as the boy preacher, hardly out of sure pants. And he was over preaching the gospel of Christ in Liverpool. During that 3 to 4 month period, our brother preached on the Lord's Day, both morning and evening services. He took the midweek prayer meetings and Bible studies. He did door-to-door evangelism. And he also visited members of the congregation that was both communicant members and congregational members, as well as hospital visits. But no sooner had his feet touched our soil when he was informed that one of his first duties was to conduct a funeral service. It was to be a baptism of fire, as far as our brother was concerned. His eyes were about to be opened in relation to Liverpool life. An appointment was arranged for him to visit the family members. And he was sent forth by the Reverend Fleming as a lamb to the slaughter. He approached the door of the family home that day. And all as he could hear from the front living room is, here's the vicar, here's the vicar. And he knocked on the door and was brought in. And I suppose a number of us will have been in a position similar to this before today, where there is a moment of silence, where you weigh up the people and where the people weigh up you. Well, the silence was quickly broken when somebody asked them, will you take a brandy, vicar? And of course, our brother, being as he is, said, no brandy for me. Would you like a whiskey then? And it was no whiskey for him. And so they looked one towards another again. And then somebody else stepped forward and said, perhaps you'd take a cigarette. But our brother was unflinching. And he rejected all the advances. They got down to business and the family suggested some hymns that they would like to be sung at the funeral service. After a while, our brother prayed with the family, read the scriptures, and I suppose that episode was over. He returned to the church manse and related to the Reverend Fleming all that had taken place. Mr. Fleming said, don't worry about it. He said, there'll only be a handful of people at the funeral. Well, you can imagine how shocked the Reverend Brown was when on the day of the funeral, the church was filled to capacity. Announcing the first hymn that they, incidentally, had requested, the congregation stood and they watched in awe and wonder and in silence as the Reverend Brown sang the entire hymn by himself. Perhaps he thought on that occasion, well, maybe they're a little shy. Or maybe they just didn't know the first hymn. So after the opening prayer, he went in for the second hymn. And our brother again sung a solo to the filled church as the church looked on. On another occasion, the Reverend Fleming took him for a visit. It was to an old lady in a nursing home. She had always been very, very hard of hearing. And the Reverend Brown came in, he stood one side of the bed, and Mr. Fleming came in and he stood the other side of the bed. And he looked at the old lady and he said, this is Ian Brown from Northern Ireland. And then he looked at the Reverend Brown and he said, do you know you can say anything that you want because she is as deaf as a post. And all of a sudden the lady sat up and she said, I heard that. And little did he know, but earlier that day, she'd been fitted with a brand new hearing aid. I'm sure the Reverend Brown didn't know whether to laugh or to cry on that occasion when she jumped up. Our brother joined us as we protested against Mission England and the Billy Graham crusade that came to the city on that occasion. And as young people, we were more than impressed by his knowledge of the scriptures. He became an inspiration to our young people. Some of those young people went on to become elders in the Liverpool church. His testimony, whilst he was amongst us, was unquestionable. And there are individuals in life who we all come across. Perhaps our paths cross and for a short while we have a connection with people. And then we cascade off into different directions, perhaps never to think of them ever again. But not so with the Reverend Brown. He made such an impression upon myself, my wife, and also the rest of the congregation that we would often fondly pray for him and uphold him and his family at the throne of grace in prayer. We thank God for every remembrance of him in Liverpool. Over the past 28 years, he has remained on our prayer list, and we have constantly brought him before the throne of grace in prayer. We have observed him as he has advanced to a most senior position within our general presbytery. He is held in high esteem by many of his ministerial brethren and the elders within our denomination. As far as we are concerned, he is indeed a safe pair of hands, and one who can be trusted, one who we place our confidence in, and one who we often turn to for counsel and for advice and for words of wisdom. To serve a quarter of a century in his first church here in Londonderry is most indeed a fitting tribute to the love which he has for you as a congregation and the love which you have for him as your pastor. Following an extended period of vacancy that we had in Liverpool, some 7 years, the Liverpool Kirk Session decided that they would approach the Reverend Brown and they would ask if he would consider becoming their interim moderator during the vacancy. It was simply a Macedonian call, and we rejoice in the God of heaven that that call did not fall upon deaf ears. Our brother was more than willing and prepared, as far as we're concerned, to return to his roots in Liverpool and to give as much encouragement, guidance and counsel that he could in endeavouring to aid and assist the fellowship in calling the man of God's choice. We are delighted that the Reverend Brown accepted that plea from the people of Liverpool, and in turn we would like to thank and express our appreciation to the congregation here for allowing him to accept that position. He has been a great source of strength to us, as we were without an under shepherd. Some 12 months ago we had the joy of placing a call for the Reverend Calvin Stripp to take up the charge in Liverpool, and we are delighted that our brother accepted the call of God and came to serve the Lord in Liverpool. But your pastor still remains our senior minister in Liverpool Free Church, and we trust that he will fulfill that post over the final 2 years. It is a qualification within our denomination that any student minister or any minister who accepts a call to his first church should be in that church and should be overseen by a senior minister. We are delighted that the Reverend Brown now holds that position within our church in Liverpool. We assure you, brother, of our prayerful support, and we trust that God will continue to give you souls for his hire in this corner of the vineyard. The Lord might be pleased to pour out his blessing, not only upon you, your wife and family, but upon the fellowship here, and that he will, even after 25 years, give you another cutting edge of your ministry and your labour of love for him.
Please turn with us now to the next hymn in the order of service. The offering hymn, "The Sands of Time Are Sinking." Thank you very much indeed, Brother Phil. "The Sands of Time Are Sinking, The Dawn of Heaven Breaks." Remaining seated as the offering is taken up for the Lord's work. this point, I would like to call upon one of your elders, Mr. Scott Mackey, to come to the pulpit. And our brother has some things to say and some things to do. Our brother, Mr. Mackey.
Well, good evening, everyone. You're all very welcome here again this evening. It's a joy to see so many gathered out, and we're so delighted that you're able to come this evening. Now, if you're visiting with us, we would like to give you a special word of welcome. And especially to even ministers who are in our congregation, we give you a welcome as well. And of course, we'd like to welcome Mr. Murray. We thank him for leading thus far, and we thanks for that. And as also Mr. Johnson, he's going to preach to us later on, and we thank you for coming and making the journey this evening. We know you've been busy all day preaching, and we trust that you will have a message again for us tonight. And again, I would like to welcome this evening a very special lady. Now, Mrs. Brown, Senior, is in her midst this evening, I believe, and I see you down there, and you're very, very welcome this evening. We trust that God will bless you in the days that lie ahead. Now, this is a momentous occasion. Mr. Brown has been our minister for 25 years. We all know that by now. There have been various difficulties along the way, but throughout he has given himself under the guidance of God to be a faithful minister. We have many happy memories of the boy from Lisburn who first came amongst us when he was the age his eldest son is now, Joe. He was just 22. But now, there's some differences with Mr. Brown and his son, Joe. Now, their hairstyles were different 25 years ago. Mr. Brown had a different hairstyle, and now Joe's is not just the same. But there's another difference as well. Now, Mr. Brown just came alone. I noticed that Joe is not alone at this time. So he has someone along with him. So there you are. That's a couple of small differences just. But, of course, we can't leave out the fact that he found his wife in our congregation. You know, and he was married within a year of his ordination. Now, there you are. So that was quick. His ordination and installation as well, of course. Now, we take this opportunity to thank Gillian, who has shown herself to be a helpmate to the Reverend Brown, a good mother to Joel, Aaron and Chloe, and who well illustrates the attributes of a godly woman as described in Proverbs chapter 31. The Reverend Brown settled well into the life of our congregation. We have been well grounded and taught from the scriptures. We have been both encouraged and challenged by many timely messages and even the odd quiz. Reverend Brown has dedicated many of our children, taught them the word, and officiated at several of their weddings. And we're very grateful for that. We remember with respect the many faithful members who have passed on to glory, and thank Reverend Brown for officiating at their funerals. He has been a faithful and diligent servant of God. And we can surely say that we have been fed on the finest of the wheat under his ministry. Reverend Brown has also put his God-given talents to use in the wider denomination, namely in his role as former convener of the Government and Morals Committee, former Presbytery Minute Secretary, and now current Clerk of Presbytery. He was also the main instigator of the Consider Christ campaign that coordinated the mammoth task of creating, printing and distributing gospel literature to every home in Northern Ireland and the border counties. And of course, Consider Christ continues to be used to evangelise principally in southern counties. More recently, he has taken on the task as well of lecturer in the Whitfield College, filling Dr. Paisley's shoes by lecturing on historical theology. We thank God for the Reverend Brown, and thank the Reverend Brown for his patience, encouragement and guidance over these past 25 years. We pray that he will be granted many more years to proclaim the unsearchable riches of God. Now, in a word, if I was to describe Mr. Brown and his ministry. It would be faithful. A verse of scripture is found in Ruth chapter 2, verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. That's found in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 12. Thank you, Reverend Brown, and may the Lord continue to bless you and your wife and children. Now, at this juncture, I'm going to call upon Mr. John Murray, our treasurer, to present a gift to Mr. Brown. So, if you would please come forward. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Brown, I'd like to congratulate you on 25 years of faithful ministry. We do appreciate your ministry here in Londonderry. As the Reverend Murray said, you are a man of the Word. You have been faithful in preaching the Word of God to us over the years. You've been faithful in not only preaching the Word of God, but also living the Word of God. And so we'd like to present you with this volume of the Scriptures to mark this occasion and thank you for your labours. We'd also like to give you this gift in cheque as well. And we pray that the Lord will bless you and will give you many more years in the labour of his service.
We would like Gillian to come forward, please, and Mrs. Lynch. She's going to do a presentation as well, please.
Well, it gives me great pleasure to present you with a small token, for we appreciate all that you do, and thank you. God bless you. Thank you.
And finally, we would like Mr. Alan Steele, who is connected with our Youth Fellowship, and he will present a gift to Mr. Brown on behalf of the Youth Fellowship. Thank you very much.
Reverend Brown, I've been given the honour of presenting you this as a way of our thanks and appreciation for all Friday nights and for diligently training and teaching us. And I'd just like to present you with that, with our thanks, appreciation and our best wishes for the future.
I must say that I was enjoying the meeting up until this point. I dare say I can't recall being as nervous as I felt on the wind-up to this particular meeting. I was thinking, sitting down in the pew there, whoever they're describing tonight is a tremendous guy. I'd really like to get to know him. And I checked, and I'm positive my wife has never met this guy either. I felt most uncomfortable. Embarrassed, probably, as well. Emotional, too, but I thank all of those who have spoken. Those who have phoned in as well that said they couldn't be here, but most of all for the people that have made it, and for those in the congregation that over 25 years have faithfully supported the work here. When we mention the figure 25 years, a quarter of a century, no matter what way you say it, it sounds an incredibly long period of time. I think when I was a little guy, 25, anyone 25 years of age was completely over the hill. Even when I came here at 22 and we were playing football, I remember this distinctly, probably to the day I die. Out we went onto the all-weather pitch and we had in our team Gregory Campbell, who I believe was about 37 then. And I was amazed that his legs still worked and that he could run and kick the ball. At 22, that's the way you viewed things. Whenever I got to 37, and if anybody had said, can you still run, I'd have been highly insulted. Because I feel I can still run 10 years even beyond that. I don't get often the opportunity to do it, but facts are facts, I suppose. I have lived in Londonderry longer than I've lived anywhere else. I have served the longest spell of my ministry in this congregation, and no matter where I should go, if go anywhere indeed in the future, I can't go for any longer than I've been here 25 years, because I've only got 20 years left, God willing, in the ministry. I've also served the longest spell of any minister in this congregation. But then you've only ever had two ministers. At my ordination service, the wife of one of our elders, Mrs. Docherty, said back then, 25 years ago, Mr. McClelland was here for 14 years. I hope you'll stay as long. She must have spent the last 11 years wondering, had I really miscalculated on the time here, that 14 years had come and gone? Haven't you got the message? I know she didn't mean that back then at all. Last night in our Bible study with some of our young people, Robert Campbell referred to a question in the longer catechism, that's something that we don't often look at, larger catechism, that defines the work of a minister. And in question 157, how is the word of God to be preached by those who are called thereunto? We have this answer. They that are called to labour in the ministry of the word are to preach sound doctrine, diligently, in season and out of season, plainly, not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, faithfully, making known the whole counsel of God, wisely, applying themselves to the necessities and capacities of the hearers, zealously, with fervent love to God and the souls of his people, sincerely, aiming at God's glory and their conversion, edification and salvation. That's a very high standard. It is a true standard. It is required of all ministers. I have tried to live up to this, but know that I fall short on many levels. I thank you for the tributes tonight. I wish I was half the man that you have described me to be. But tonight let me thank you for being a long-suffering congregation. I'll always be grateful for your support, for the fact that 25 years ago you gave me a chance to get started in the ministry. And all young men coming out of the Whitfield College of the Bible, having served their time, you're anxious for an opening somewhere to preach the Word of God. And I know that in that year when I came here, 1987, I preached in January, I preached again in May here, and I always felt that in those two occasions, Londonderry is for a man with experience, but it was lovely to be here on those two occasions. I thoroughly enjoyed preaching and didn't think that I'd be ever brought back again. But I was asked to become student minister, and then later in that year, ordained to the ministry in the congregation. I remember when news broke that Londonderry had asked for me to come here, and I wasn't meant to hear that news. It was a presbytery thing. Behind closed doors. No leaks. Don't tell anybody what has happened in the meeting. But I got a phone call the next morning early on, and I was told, I'll not say who by, Londonderry have asked for you. And, well, I couldn't really believe it in the context of what I've just said, but I knew that Lisburn Congregation were having their annual children's workers, children's meeting, Sunday school, all combined, an excursion to Bangor. And I thought, well, the only man that can really satisfy my curiosity and put this to rest and hopefully confirm that the news I've got is absolutely right is Mr. Douglas, who was the clerk of Presbury at the time, my minister in Lisburn. And I get into the old 1.1 Escort that I thought was an absolute flying machine and did things in that car that I wouldn't even think of doing in my current car, like overtaking people on the hard shoulder and all sorts of things. But got into the car, drove down to Bangor, searched him out and asked him, was it true? And he confirmed that it was. And that was a great delight to me, I must say. We've been over a few bridges since, and we have gone round a few bends, and I probably sent the most of you round those bends and then stepped back and let you go round them and watched as you did. Much has changed. There is no doubt about that over 25 years. One thing that hasn't changed is our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is delightful that we can look back into the book of Hebrews and know of a truth. That what Hebrews 13 and 8 says is absolutely true. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. We have changed. I look at young people, or those who were young people when I first came, children. And now I look at them and I think, you almost look as old as I do. It's been lovely to see them grow up, develop, do what they've done with the guidance and blessing of God upon them. I was thinking, because we had the hymn tonight and I had chosen that hymn, it's a long-standing favourite of mine. Samuel Rutherford's ministry was a wonderful one. He ministered in a little village in Anwath, near the Solway Firth down in Galloway, southeastern Scotland. And a lady wrote a hymn after Rutherford had died, trying to sum up what his ministry had been among them. And the hymn is, "The Sands of Time Are Sinking." Now, in the verses you have tonight, it doesn't mention Anwath, the place where he ministered, but if you had the full version of the hymn, we sang three verses, it's a long hymn. If you were singing the entire hymn, you'd be singing 19 verses, because that's the total of that hymn when it was first penned, or the poem. And in those verses are these two that you have never seen in any of our hymn books, and you never will. "The little birds of Anwath, I used to count them blessed. Now beside happier altars, I go to build my nest. Over these there broods no silence, no graves around them stand. For glory deathless dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. Fair Anwath, by the Solway, to me thou still art dear. Even from the verge of heaven, I drop for thee a tear. Oh, if one soul from Anwath meet me at God's right hand, my heaven will be two heavens in Emmanuel's land." To see souls saved, to know God's people encouraged, educated in the things of God, these remain my principal motivations. I'd like to thank you for holding the meeting tonight. It does mean much to me and to my family as well. Thank all who have come. Thank you for supporting me, for the family that have been backing me all the way. What is said of them is absolutely true tonight, no doubt about it. May the Lord enable us to keep preaching Christ and his gospel and have an appetite that remains for the things of God and go forward and see greater blessing in days to come. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed, Reverend Brown. And we trust the Lord will richly bless you in the days that lie ahead. Now, just as we come towards the preaching of God's word, can I introduce those who will be taking part in the remainder of the service, just to save time so that I'll not be getting up and down. First of all, the Reverend Harry Kearns is here. We want to give a special welcome to Reverend Kearns. He's going to come just in a moment and read God's precious word. The Reverend Kearns is a former interim moderator here in Londonderry. We're glad he's here. After the Reverend Kearns reads God's word, then the Reverend Ron Johnson is going to come and bring the word the Lord has laid on his heart to us tonight. And after the Reverend Johnston has finished preaching, the Reverend Robert Omerod is going to come and close our meeting in prayer and give thanks for the supper. First of all, Reverend Kearns.
It is indeed a privilege and a joy to be here this evening and to take part in the service. I have fond memories of the work in Londonderry and the fellowship I enjoyed with our brother Mr. Brown over the years. Just want to read some verses with you from John's Gospel this evening. Chapter 1. John chapter 1. And we're breaking in to read from the verse number 6. And we're going to read down to the end of verse 17. John chapter 1, verse 6. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world,
and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Amen. And we know that God will add his own divine blessing to the public reading of his own precious and infallible truth for his name's sake. Amen.
Well, could I say it is indeed a great joy and privilege to participate this evening and been asked to take part. Much of what I was going to say has already been said, and I'd simply reiterate the tributes that have been paid regarding the various ministries of the Reverend Brown. And we do thank God for those, and I'll not need to go through them. There's so much I could say tonight, so many stories we could tell about his life. There's some I would like to know whether they're true or not, about those early days when 25 years ago he came to Londonderry to seek a wife. To take up the ministry here in the church. I was told he was so full of zeal his first day here. He went into town and he asked a young man, could you tell me where the post office is? The young man said, oh, well, you go up this street and down this street and round there. And he said, you know, I'm the new minister of the Free Presbyterian Church. Sunday night I'm preaching on how to get to heaven. I'd love you to come and listen to me. What would I come and listen to you for, to preach on how to get to heaven when you don't even know the way to the post office? But he does know his way around today, and we're thankful for that. He mentioned about only two ministers. That's a blessing to be 25 years, because I heard about the minister was retiring from a certain church, and on the way out, an elderly lady was in tears and said, we'll never get as good a minister as you again. She says, oh, no, no, no. No, young man, we'll never have as good a minister as you. No, you'll get somebody. No, I know what I'm talking about. I've been going here for 80 years and we've had five ministers, and each one's always worse than the one before. So one last thing I'll say is some advice I heard some years ago. Someone was speaking at the 25th anniversary, and he said to the minister, and you used this expression, so it's your fault. He said enjoy tonight, because a minister's 25th anniversary is the greatest night of his ministry. Because, you know, for the first 25 years, critics have been saying, you're too young, you're just an upstart. And after tonight, they'll say, you're over the hill. So, we know that's not true. But, you know, it's a special relationship that's difficult to explain, that of a pastor with his congregation. Paul wrote to the church of Philippi, and he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And there in the prison cell, hundreds of miles away, he said, when I think about you and the ministry among you, it brings me great joy. He said, you are my joy and crown. It's wonderful, the relationship between a minister and congregation. And we tonight have paid tribute to the Reverend Brown and his ministry here. And we think of how he's been a good shepherd to the flock here in Londonderry, a faithful preacher, a wise servant of God, one devoted to his family. And tribute has been paid to his work in our presbytery, his wise words of counsel, and his experience, his encouragement, his exhortations, his example of what a pastor ought to be, not simply in the pulpit, but in his day-to-day Christian living, because Ian, as I would know him as, is the same, whether in the pulpit or he's not one of these ministers, they say, or in some places who put on a kind of a front when they're preaching, and yet in their everyday life there's no real Christianity about them. Knowing Mr. Brown these years, I know he is the same. We're grateful for what the Lord has done through Mr. Brown, and in the closing moments of the meeting we want to turn our attention for a few moments to praise and adoration to God for his grace, because all that Mr. Brown has been enabled to accomplish has been because of the Lord and his grace in his life, for him and through him. So it's right and proper that we take time in God's word. Oh yes, it's right, and God commands us to honour them to whom honour is due. We're told to honour them that have the rule over us, those that minister, and we're doing that tonight. But we honour Mr. Brown's Saviour tonight, and we know that that is what he would want. And we praise God for his wonderful, wonderful grace. John 1 verse 6. John 1 verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was Ian. Now, don't worry, I use the King James. But I'm reading it properly. You say, no, you're not, it's John. Surely you know that Ian is the Scottish form of John, just as Sean is the Irish form, Ivan is the Russian form, Juan is the Spanish form, Jan is some of the Eastern European, Johan. It's all John. It's all John. Oh, yes, spelt differently, pronounced differently in different languages, but I'm not reading into Scripture. Ian and John are the same term. And I know you in this congregation can say tonight, and from your heart, thank God, 25 years ago, there was a man sent from God to Londonderry whose name was Ian, or to give the English pronunciation, John. Thank God, John the Baptist, what a wonderful study he is. He was great in the sight of God. We're told he did no miracle. John did no miracle. Of course, in the charismatic delusion of today, that would rule a man out from being great. Ah, but God said he was the greatest prophet born of woman. Yet he did no miracle. He did no miracle. How sad it is we live in a day when Christians are so gullible to get caught up with the health and wealth and prosperity and so on gospel that's really a false gospel. John did no miracle, but all that he spoke of Christ was true. And many believed in Christ because of John the Baptist's ministry. And Christ paid tribute to John the Baptist, and tonight we're paying tribute to God's servant and to God's grace in his life, that what he has preached has been true of Christ, and he's lifted up the Saviour. And we thank God for that grace. If you notice down the chapter here in verse 16, grace for grace, grace for grace. Peter put it this way. The Apostle Peter spoke about the manifold grace of God. The manifold grace of God. Do you know what it literally is in the Greek? So I'm told. The multicolored. The multicolored. Do you know, Mr. Brown, of course, those of you who know him well know that he is very interested in and has been instrumental in promoting the opposition to evolution and showing our young people that there's nothing to be ashamed of, to believe the Bible and to stand up for the Scripture. And true science does not contradict the Scripture. One of the greatest scientists who did believe in the Bible and actually wrote commentary in the book of Revelation was, of course, Sir Isaac Newton, voted some time ago the greatest British person that ever lived. Sir Isaac Newton was the one, if you remember in school, who had to do the experiments with the prism. You know how they got the little glass or plastic prism and you shine a beam, a ray of light, and that light divides into seven colours of the rainbow. It was Isaac Newton, they say, that first did that experiment. Seven divided. Peter spoke about the manifold, the multicoloured grace of God. I'm going to be brief, but I want to just point out some of the multicoloured grace of God. That's what the Bible calls the grace of God. It's multicoloured. One grace, but just as the light divides into the seven colours. First of all, there's saving grace. Saving grace. We're told of course, in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, and I'll not turn to these for time. We're saved by grace. And thank God for the saving grace in the life of Ian and Gillian and the family. Thank God for that sovereign, free, almighty grace. That word used today, and yet people don't really understand it. Grace. Church of Rome talks about grace, but they say it's something the church has, like a reservoir, and if you pay for it or go through the rituals, they'll give it to you. That's not grace. Grace is unmerited favour. Grace describes how God has been favourable to us. Well, not only do we not deserve it, we deserve the very opposite. We deserve hell. We deserve God's wrath. And yet salvation is by grace. It's something we could never earn. You cannot be saved by promising to live a good life or say, I'll do this, I'll do that. I'll turn over a new leaf. I'll begin to go to church. I'll begin to order my life. Listen, that will never, never take away one sin. We are saved by grace alone. Means we have to come to an end of ourselves. And in the life of Mr. and Mrs. Brown, there was a time when they realized that all they deserved for God, from God, was to be damned. And that's all any of us deserve. You say, I want fairness. I want justice. Well, that would be justice for all of us to be lost for all eternity. But thank God, grace describes how God looks upon us and in the person of Christ. You see, it says in this passage too, grace came by Jesus Christ. Grace is God the Son taking a human body and a human nature and coming into this world, living in this sinful world. He who created the rivers and the seas being thirsty. He who holds the heartbeat of man in his control. By him all things consist and have their being. And yet he permitted those men to take him and nail him to a tree and scourge him with the whip. And mock him and taunt him and spit in his face. He did all that. Why? To provide salvation. What wonderful grace. What? That's grace. How can we explain it? How can we understand it? But thank God we can receive that grace. And they have received that grace. Now, grace is free. If you try and do anything for it, it's no longer grace. Grace in the original implies something that you do not deserve, you could never deserve, and yet God gives it freely. Have you ever come to that place and experienced salvation like that? See, if you think there's one thing you can do. Some people think salvation is like a pound. Christ paid 99p, but we have to pay the last penny. Oh no, there's no more grace. He paid it all. Now, grace is free, but grace is not cheap. Grace is not cheap. Cost God the Son to go to Calvary. Cost God the Father to give His Son. You know, I was just thinking there, Mr. Brown referred to the football. Could I say to him, 25 years is time to hang up the gym shoes. Or your legs may not. Remember your age tonight. And let the young people play on their own. But a few months ago, I had occasion to be asked to speak to, it was actually a relative who was a member for years and years of the Liverpool Supporters Club in East Belfast. And when we went there to the house in East Belfast there, they had all the Liverpool things, coffin and so on around. And I was seeking, how can I get the gospel across simply? Because remember, when the Lord Jesus Christ met fishermen, he talked about fish. When he met a woman at the well, he talked about water. I thought, what can I say to these men? Of course, I'm preaching the gospel. What I meant was some illustration. So I took courage. These are all Liverpool supporters, club. And I said, men, 1965 was a very famous year in football history in the FA Cup for two reasons. Number one, Liverpool finally won the FA Cup for the first time. And some of them went, oh, you know, isn't it a joke? That's the first time you ever won it, your team. But I said, secondly, it's the first time in football history in the United Kingdom when substitutes were allowed in football. You know, young people here, it might surprise you, when I played, well, I never played, I just kicked around in the street, but when football, when I was a boy, no substitutes were allowed. And I said, men, you know today when you watch football, substitutes. What is a substitute? Somebody that takes the place of another. Somebody that takes the place of another. And I said, man, that's what I'm here to preach on at this funeral. The only hope that we have, the only hope we have for eternity is that God sent a substitute to take our place. And Christ on Calvary took my place, and he took Mr. and Mrs. Brown's place on that tree. And he suffered what I sought to have suffered. He suffered my hell. That's grace. That's grace. And he took my place because I could never keep the law. But he kept it for me. But I said it's multicolored grace. You know, the Bible speaks about serving grace. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15:9-10, I labored more abundantly, yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me. And you know that Mr. and Mrs. Brown have labored abundantly, fervently in this congregation. But we thank God tonight for them, but for the grace of God that enabled them to serve. You know the passage in 2 Corinthians 8, maybe verse 1, Paul was talking about offerings, but he was saying that the church there in 2 Corinthians 8 and 1, they not only gave their money, but Paul said they gave themselves first. And he spoke there about sacrificing grace. And you know, only heaven knows the sacrifices that Mr. and Mrs. Brown have made over these 25 years. They've given of their lives sacrificially. They've given in ways that nobody ever knows a minister and his wife. The sacrifices that they have to go through. And I'm not just thinking here physically or materially. I'm thinking here emotionally. Spiritual sacrifices that the minister endures. Paul wrote in one place about the burden, the care of all the churches. And there is that sacrifice that a caring minister goes through. And it leads me very quickly to another aspect of the grace of God. Do you remember in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. I believe it was physical. He prayed 3 times, Lord, take this away. Take this away. But the Lord said, no, I have a purpose for it in your life. I have a purpose for it. That you'll not be exalted above measure. But in your suffering, my grace is sufficient. And there's been happy times over these years, but there's been times not only of sacrifice, but times of suffering, weeping with those who weep. Only a pastor knows the suffering it is to see someone sit under the preaching of the gospel, and they seem near the kingdom of God, and yet they reject Christ and reject and they go away. You see, a caring pastor, that brings suffering. Because the caring pastor searches his heart. Is there anything I could have done? Is there anything I could have said? I speak of a caring pastor now of those sufferings. But there's grace. There were difficult times of suffering, I'm sure, over these 25 years. Misunderstanding. God's servants are often misunderstood. Misjudged in many ways. I don't know the sufferings. Mr. Brown hasn't been complaining of any sufferings. But I know any man of God, any minister is going to go through sufferings. But thank God for God's grace. Colossians 3 and 16. I'm at number 5. So we're going quickly here, I told you. Number 5. Singing grace. Colossians 3 and 16. Singing with grace in your hearts. I wonder, did the congregation think it was grace when he was singing there in Londonderry? You see, it takes grace to sing sometimes, and sometimes it takes grace to listen to some people singing. But of course, in your minister, you are favoured that you have a minister. He is musical. Do you know Martin Luther, the great reformer? He believed that no young man should be ordained to the ministry unless he's taught to lead music and to lead singing. So I don't know if they're going to bring that into the college or not, but he was strong in that. Very strong on the singing. And of course, Mr. Brown is musical. He can play the piano and so on. Often done it when we're together at various meetings with the minister's prayer time and so on. And you've been gifted that way. He's able to sing. Someone said to me quite a while ago, Mr. Johnson, you're a real prison singer. I thought, my, this is good. I didn't think it was that good. You know, I didn't think that was my gift. He said, Mr. Johnson, you're a real prison singer. When you get up and lead the singing, you're always behind a few bars and can never get the right key. But the Bible speaks about singing grace. Of course, it's singing in your heart, it's joy. And yes, we spoke about the sacrificing grace and the suffering grace, but God gives singing grace. And tonight we're not here to see and to thank God for a minister that's kind of, oh dear, it's terrible to be in the ministry, isn't it? We're not. Because Mr. Brown tonight's rejoicing that God has given him the privilege to be in the ministry for 25 years. We're rejoicing with him. It's a joy to serve the Lord. That didn't say it's easy. But there's a joy. When you're in God's will, there's a joy. Young person, never be afraid of God's will. I'm afraid in some meetings people talk about giving your life to the Lord as if you have a choice of whether you want to be happy in life or you're going to be miserable serving the Lord. What a blasphemy. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him. And when you're in the centre of God's will, there's joy. And over these 25 years, they could keep you, I'm sure, here to next week. Mr. and Mrs. Brown could tell us of times when the joy of the Lord, and we're not talking about a natural joy, we're not talking about happy things that unsaved could look back over 25 years. We're talking about times when the Lord came and gave His joy. Talking about the joy of the Lord. How difficult. Paul sang in the prison. Do you think he wasn't feeling the pain in his back? Of course he was. But he had joy. A joy that comes from the Lord. God, when He saves you, He'll give you the grace to even have that singing in your heart. Of course, there's speaking grace in Colossians 4 and 6. Let your speech be always with grace. And thank God for the gifts of grace that God has given Mr. Brown to preach the word, to write the various literature, to help in various statements and so on. And of course, the ability to speak comes from the grace of God. It's not just a natural ability when you come to the things of God. It's the grace of God. It's the gift. Come to the last and seventh one. I said multicolored, the prism. Paul wrote to young Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, and he said, be strong in the grace. There's strengthening grace. And you know, 25 years. How has Mr. Brown been able to continue for 25 years in the gospel ministry? You know, there's only, you know, the explanation is God's strengthening grace. God's strengthening grace. Thank God for the mighty grace of God and for the strength. And He said strength. We could tell you many stories of the way He stood courageously and at strength. When the Reverend Beattie took part earlier, we couldn't help thinking of us going all the way to Zimbabwe, the three of us, to the World Council of Churches, by the way, to protest. Not to take part. And we got in as journalists. You didn't know your minister was a journalist. We got journalist passes. I think I went for the revivalist. I'm not sure what, Reverend Brown. But we all went for Christian magazines. Burning Bush. I didn't know that. Burning Bush journalist. And I think you were the British Churchman, was it? Or one of those magazines, Reverend Beattie. And we had to queue up and get our press. And we had little press badges. Of course, we wore a collar and there was a press conference with the leaders of the World Council. And that was fun to be in. There was TV camera. There was all kinds of things. And to hear your minister, you were allowed to ask a question and the panel would answer. Then you could come back with another one. I think by the third day, it was a laugh because the man who was getting the press, he'd go, any questions? And there were the three of us. Is there anybody got any question? Here. And the journalists were having fun by that time, but they were pointing, let these men ask. But your minister, some of the questions they was able to ask, and the so-called educated, you know, these men professing, and women professing themselves to be wise, become fools. I think on one occasion, I've no time to go into it, but they went into this long answer, and your minister just came back on the second go at it. But I'm talking about the New Testament. They tried to say this is some Old Testament teaching. And the floor was taken from off them. And even on occasions, the journalists were laughing at these men at the front. And your minister was able to speak out strongly against. I also learnt over there that he loved ties because the money in Zimbabwe had just been devalued and all the things he got was really cheap. So he had us round the shop for ties. Gillian, you get him some. It's all these ties. Because they were next to nothing because of the devalued. But thank God for the grace of God. The multicolored grace of God in the life of the Reverend Brown over these 25 years. And here's what we do tonight. Anniversaries are a time of looking back and remembering and rejoicing, but an anniversary is a time for rededicating ourselves. And we'd say to Mr. Brown, tonight you look back with rejoicing over the past 25 years and we thank God for his grace, but now rededicate yourself for the next 25. There's more, and every one of us are believers. We ought to be more zealous for the future. And I quote one more verse and I finish. Acts 14:26. The church, this is Paul and Barnabas, listen, they recommended them to the grace of God. And that's what we do tonight. That's what we've done in prayer already. Or was done when prayer was led. Tonight, we recommend, it means we commend Mr. and Mrs. Brown to the grace of God. And we simply say tonight, in your presence here, believer, we're saying, Lord, we thank you, we praise you for the grace of God that saved the Reverend Brown those years ago. The grace of God that has enabled him to be a faithful minister of Christ. And Lord, we're praying, and I'll just call them Ian and Gillian and the family, we're praying for you that the grace of God will be sufficient for you in the coming days. May God pour his grace upon you, Ian and Gillian and the family.
I want to call on the Reverend Ormerod to come now to the pulpit to close in prayer. We'll sing one verse of the hymn as the Reverend Ormerod comes up. The closing hymn, if we'd like to turn to the order of service, thank you again, Reverend Johnson, for preaching God's word so faithfully to us. Just going to sing verse 3 of the hymn. Time is now fleeting. The moments are passing. 25 years has gone in quickly, but time is fleeting. Moments are passing. If you're not saved, now's the time to get saved, for time is short. We're going to just sing verse 3, and we'll stand to sing, and then the Reverend Ormerod will come and close in prayer. Our beloved Heavenly Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee tonight for the privilege that has been ours to be gathered into Your house. We thank Thee, Lord, we're here to remember and to give thanks for 25 years of faithful ministry that Thou hast given to Thy servant, to his wife, to his family, and to the congregation of Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church. We thank Thee for the days of good hand of God upon the work, for the souls that have been saved, for the many individuals that have come through all the departments of the church here and have heard God's precious truth. And our Father, we ask that even upon the seed that has been sown over those 25 years, that yet in days to come, that many souls will be brought to the Saviour. Keep thy hand upon thy dear servant, upon his wife, upon his family, upon the congregation and the work of God here in Londonderry. That, Lord, in the days, in the weeks, in the months, in the years to come, that thou would continue to bless them, continue to do them good, and to use them here in the Maiden City for the uplifting and exalting and glorifying of the beautiful, wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we rejoice in the souls that have been saved. But we pray that further will be added on to the kingdom, such as should be saved. Bless your people. Bless your servants. And use them in the days that are before them for the glory and honor of Christ Jesus. Take our thanks for the good things that have been provided for us. Bless the hands and their provision. May we eat and drink to the glory of God. And afterwards, give each and every one of us trouble and mercies home. In Jesus' wonderful and in his precious name.